Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
Well, good afternoon, listeners, and welcome once again here to the Bonds, this beautiful hospital and come marvelous hotel here. I'm still here, as you can imagine. And maybe we might get it on television or whatever, I don't know. But Paul and Anthony here, and they were recording the programme for next Sunday. But a friend, person phoned me during the week and asked me what was my condition. And said my condition is awful. If you look at it from the human point of view, I can't walk, I have to be lifted into bed. I can move my feet and my ankles. If I move, it takes 3 or 4 people for to lift me and get me back into bed or to get me out of bed. And not only that, but I have to sit up straight for to swallow tablets or whatever that I might have to take. But I'm at great peace, I have a great joy, and as the Lord went to life, you know, the Lord said in I think it was in Luke and John 17:33, around there, these two living saints that are with me today, they should be able to talk to their friend, because the Lord's grief will change to joy.
That's right.
That's part of scripture, and I think that if the listeners are listening to what I'm saying right now and what I'm going through now and what I have to go through over the next 48 hours, if I wasn't in the Holy Spirit and believe in the Lord and His peace and His grace, and he didn't say, John, I wouldn't be sick, but I am, but I know that He'll take me through the whole thing and I won't have any worries. I knew the listeners had to feel the same way.
John, I often think of it. Sorry, I better introduce myself. Anthony Brabison here, We also have Paul.
This is Paul. Paul Caffrey here.
Paul Caffrey, we got the A team this week, don't we, John?
Yeah.
All hands on deck.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're still waiting for that cup of tea. Will that nurse ever come in with them?
No, you didn't pay for the last one.
All right. Okay. Okay. I was just thinking when you were talking about, you know, the bad times as well as good. It's like we have a Father in heaven who's watching over us. And you know the way, John, when your kids were growing up, you watched over them.
Yeah.
And you didn't kind of protect them from every scrape and every fall and every negative thing that was going on. But you had this kind of oversight as a parent, you know, I often think of God the Father that way. You know, we do go through trials, we do go through difficulties, but not without God in heaven presiding over it and kind of watching over it. You know, and protecting us overall in the whole journey. So that encourages me anyway. Mm. I know I'm not going through as much of a trial as you're going through at the moment, but when I do go through bits and pieces,
but on the other hand, you see, I have to thank the Lord too, because I've just gone to 83, and 83 years, and that's a long time. And I've had very, very good health for all those years.
83, what year were you born?
1933.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. Gosh. So that's a long, long time.
There you go.
And as I said to somebody on the phone up there recently, like I got some phone calls from people asking me how I enjoyed good health for so long. Well, that was God, that was my privilege too. That was God looking after me. Because when I was growing up, I used to serve Mass, as I said 1,000 times, there in Vincent Hospital and the Convent in Leeson Street and the University Church. All those years I never met a bad nun or priest. I met some wonderful, wonderful people. And when I get so sad when I think of what's happening in the Roman Catholic Church now, and this is my opinion, and listening to Dermot Martin, I'm just disgusted with what's happening. As I said on numerous occasions, the average person doesn't know the difference between chastity and celibacy.
Mm. Is there a difference?
Oh, there's a huge difference, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, shows how ignorant I am.
You're not ignorant about you at all now. you're a smart cookie. So, you know.
What's the difference? What's
the difference? Well, celibacy is being unmarried.
Yeah.
That's the vow of celibacy.
Okay, vow of celibacy. Yeah. They take a vow of celibacy to remain unmarried.
Yeah.
Chastity is being right in the area of sexuality, whether we're married or single. So for a single person, chastity means that they have no sexual relations and also that their thoughts are clean and pure.
Yeah.
So it covers everything. And for the married person, chastity means faithfulness to their spouse.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a vow, isn't it?
Chastity isn't. Well, there is a separate thing, a vow of chastity, which
nuns
and so on take. But for the regular priesthood, secular priesthood, parish priests and so on, they take a vow of celibacy, they take a vow not to
marry.
But
that's only in the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes, it is. Well, it's in some other churches take
well,
it as
there's
well.
Very few of them now.
Some of the Anglicans would also.
That's why a lot of them switched to the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. Yes, some did because they wanted to.
And a lot of them were married.
Why did that come in now? Because in the Word of God, we see that Peter was married, you know, in the Bible.
Yeah.
And
well, sure, they all know. I think they were about one.
Yeah.
When married as well.
Yeah, no, certainly in the early centuries, there was the ministers that, you know, were certainly married. Elders in the church were married.
That's right, yeah.
Right through. And if you look at Timothy and Titus, Paul's letters, one of the requirements, in fact, for somebody to be a leader in the Christian church was that their married life would be, you know, in proper order, that they'd
That's
be faithful
right.
to their wives, and that their households would be, their children would be obedient and so on.
Yeah.
So it was something that was brought in, that was introduced later for all sorts of reasons. In fact, I was listening to somebody on, I think it was one of the other radio stations this afternoon, and there was people were phoning in about this, and one of the points that somebody made was that part of the reason for introducing clerical celibacy was to do with property, so the church property wouldn't pass into other hands. So if I was the abbot of a monastery and I decided to marry, for example, and then I had a son and I die, he might claim in law.
So might lose the monastery.
Might lose the monastery, could be lost to the church.
Son. Yeah.
So I think that was part of it. However, I also believe that there are people who are genuinely called, like Jeremiah was called to be single as a sign. Remember, he said that God said to him he was not to take a wife in this place. He was to remain single. And Jesus speaks.
The Apostle Paul spoke about it.
Jesus himself said there will be some who will be eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. In other words, it's definitely spoken about as a calling. But where things went wrong, or where people imposed it as a condition for ministry in the church. It shouldn't be a condition.
No.
If God gives somebody, because Paul actually says that, doesn't he? He says each one has his own gift.
So
celibacy is a gift. Some people are actually called to remain single for the sake of the kingdom of God.
No, you're not talking about yourself now.
I happen to be single, but I don't consider, I've never considered that I had a particular calling. But it certainly gives a person a lot more freedom. I can do things that a married man with family couldn't do.
That's right,
I can, you know.
But God has a plan for two years, so we don't know what. Hey, we run a bet on that, you know, better.
John, you were telling me earlier you had some Filipino visitors here.
Ah, yeah, lots.
Tell us about that.
Ah, they're marvellous, marvellous
It's the nurses, is it?
The nurses.
And doctors.
And I don't want to mention, I'd separate this way. I've had, 12 or 15 people on the internet, on the website, that embraces the radio and all that, and they phone up for a chat in various areas on the internet or on the phone. They have my phone number, and they ring up and they have a chat, and that's where I was explaining, I think earlier I started to say that, about the fact that they don't have a pope.
Mm-hmm.
That and they made it make it quite clear because they are Catholic people, Christian people, and they do not have a pope, and that's very, very clear in the land in the Philippines.
The one Holy Father, and he's in heaven.
And he now go back to the Holy Father. Then I've learned in the last, I'd say nearly every Sunday, that I've learned in the last few years to follow, just believe in God the Father of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That separates then God the Father from any other God.
Mm-hmm.
because most other people, the gods they believe in, the Trinity doesn't enter into the situation. Or Christ.
I think so many people, John, they reinvent God in their own terms. Yes. And do you know what the Word of God calls that? Idolatry. You know, that you're effectively creating a false God. And people use the name Jesus, but then they apply to Jesus characteristics that suit them, you know.
Right.
And then they talk about God, and again they apply characteristics that suit them. You know, and what all they're doing is making idols.
Yeah. You sometimes hear people say things like, oh, well, my God would never do that. My God would never send anyone to hell. My God wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
But who is their God? It's not the God.
That's where you have to define that.
Exactly. So yeah, we're talking, just as Jesus spoke about the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. In other words, he was putting himself clearly in the line of the Old Testament revelation. Yeah. Likewise, we say the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So that's who we're talking about, yeah. Who reveals himself by the Holy Spirit and gives the Holy Spirit to those who are his.
I remember years ago, I was at a Christian church where we were doing gospel outreach. It was a great time. And there was a guy came in, and he was a Hindu fella in Dublin, a young fella. And he responded to the gospel. He went forward for prayer, and he wanted to serve Jesus and everything. And I remember meeting him afterwards, you know, and in his flat, I actually met him, and his flat was full of idols. He had all these statues and incense and candles and pictures and the lot, you know. I mean, the smell of the place, John, would have knocked you out in five minutes, you know.
Yeah.
But he was after accepting Jesus, but he was like, he added it to his list of gods. This is the thing.
Yeah.
But the Word of God is clear that he'll have no other gods before him. So that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So that you don't say, I'll follow Jesus, but I'll also follow Mary, and I'll also follow Padre Pio or the saints or whoever you have in yourself.
Yeah, well, okay.
Or, you know, it's Jesus is the way. He is the door.
He is, yeah.
And
well, then I just freeze that.
Yeah.
Because I was very upset the other day, and a guy phoned me from way down the country, and he was an hour and a half on the phone. And the question came up, he started to argue with me in a nice way.
Yeah.
And I told him that the present Pope, a lovely, lovely man, and I said in so many ways, but I said the thing about it, he stood in front of a wall, I saw him on television the other day, and he was praying in front of the wall. And what came across was, He was praying for the dead.
Right.
Right? So that's put a big question mark.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that I wanted to address, which I did in the conversation with this particular man from way down the country, was this, that the dead, when the Lord says, well, let's pray for the living and the dead, he means the people that are in the church or organization or group where they are, that the majority of them can be dead and the rest can be alive. The
like
living
spiritually
and
dead.
Yeah.
That's right.
So the Pope then was giving people the impression that you can pray for the dead. And then the conversation led into then to candles, and like you just said a few minutes ago, and Padre Pio and false gods. So therefore you have a division, you have a broken heart in the sense that your feelings are divided. You can't, there's only one God, that's God the Father, the creator of all. And I made it quite clear to this guy on the phone that it's very clear to me, I said, as a Christian born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, that God never had a mother.
Yeah.
Now I said, if you believe that, I said, well then you're praying with a divided heart.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the thing about it, John, is when people have the real thing, the counterfeit thing gets exposed and it no longer has an attraction. Like if all you ever saw in all your life was fake currency and you never saw a real proper legal tender euro, you know, you might believe that this fake currency is it, but once you get the real thing, it exposes the false thing. And that's why I grew up, you know, in a religious setting too, you know, and I did my best and I tried to believe and all this stuff. But when the reality of Jesus Christ came into my life, and when I was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, it was like the lights went on, and suddenly all the, I won't say pretend stuff, but it was like shadows. They meant nothing.
No.
Because it was the reality that meant something.
Yeah.
And that's why for listeners out there who haven't yet experienced the life-changing power of an encounter and a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, you'll fiddle and you'll faddle about religion all your life, but it will not give you life.
Yeah, but that's what this program is about.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's like, well, I heard about dead fish, you know. Only dead fish go with the flow. Did you ever hear that saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's the live fish that are swimming against
that's
the tide.
Right.
You know, and I'm saying when you're alive in Christ, you may not fit in so well to the world system. They may call you a bigot and a this and a that and completely misjudge you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's because the world system hates God. Absolutely hates God and His Word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no every week I say it. And I'm saying it again, and I mean it sincerely, there's no sense in praying for people after their flesh body has died.
No, now is the day of salvation.
Now is the day, exactly.
That's right.
If they don't get right with God before they die.
Yeah, you have to repent.
Did you hear the story about there was demons down in hell, and they had a conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, that, how are we going to stop these people turning to Jesus? And one of them said, tell them there's no heaven. And the demon said, they won't believe that. And the next demon suggested, he said, tell them there's no hell. And the demon said, they won't believe that. And then the next demon said, tell them there's no hurry.
Yeah.
So,
but isn't that something that happens today too? No matter what, how many people you speak to, there's always a fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
It drives people in terms of...
They hide from...
But John, that's why terrorism is so big in the newspapers these days.
Of course, yeah.
Because people are not ready to die.
Yeah.
And if some random terrible act happens in a public street in Europe or somewhere, it instills terror in people that they could, their number could come up suddenly without warning.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that. There was a guy, I don't know if you heard this news or not, but when that awful terrorist drove the truck down at the front in Nice, people, it's only emerged recently in the news, there was actually a guy on a motorbike who went up beside him and jumped onto the cab to try and stop him and hit him and everything.
Right.
And this guy had no fear of losing his own life. He could see what was going on. It was an act of terrorism. And he was an extremely brave guy. But clearly a guy who wasn't afraid to die.
Right.
Whereas the enemy holds people in his power through the fear of death.
Yeah.
So when you actually, like yourself, John, and your dear wife, Dolores, and others, you know, when you conquer that fear, you're the freest man.
Well, I've no fear. As I said, I have a thing. I mentioned it already. I think we spent, what the word was? MYOSITIS. I've no fear. It doesn't. I can sleep at night. I sleep all night. I great peace. There's nothing stealing my peace.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing whatsoever. And if the Lord calls me home, well, sure, He calls me home in His time and not mine.
Yes.
So I'm not fearful or afraid.
Scripture says, "Perfect love casts out fear."
That's right.
The 23rd Psalm. Says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thou art with me. That's the secret, isn't it?
And then there's other commands in the Word of God. It says, cast your burdens upon the Lord.
That's right.
You know, and it also says, if you're anxious for anything, in all things by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the peace that passes understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
You know, to worry is actually a sin. People don't see it that way, John.
Yeah, because our inherited Adam and Eve nature.
Yeah, but as a believer, and as many believers are worried.
And Paul, you probably know this, you had down in what's opposite opposite the pub there in Crow Park.
Hello.
How are you?
Come on in.
Here's another one.
Another one.
Good looking, beautiful.
Okay, good luck, my
with my meditation.
As long as there's one friend buddy in the audience, you're all right.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks very much. So that's what you call now a visit to the hospital,
yeah.
You know, with my feet at the end of the bed.
This place, yeah. Is, your room, John, is like Houston Street on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. There was something I was going to say. With time to let
Okay, yeah, keep going, John.
That I was on the phone to the other day for about an hour and a half. And I had a kind of a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
And the flashback was that down in Drumcondra, the Bishop's Palace, Miranda,
mm-hmm. Yep.
We had the Bishop's Palace that we're all aware of. And then you had over on over the what you call it, on
Drumcondra,
yeah, mm-hmm. All Hallows.
All Hallows, yeah.
And I had kind of a flashback.
Yeah.
And God says, when I was hearing about all this thing was happening in Maynooth and everything at the moment, and all the wonderful men, nuns and priests that I knew, wonderful people over the years, I never met a bad one, only one. And the thing about it was, I could see all the pictures, photographs of at least 100 ordained priests in the Roman Catholic Church in All Hallows, and there had to be at least 50 or 60 large, big photographs,
mm-hmm.
of hundreds and hundreds of men that, to me, they were led astray because they were ordained by man,
mm-hmm.
and they brought up on rules and regulations, trying to live a good life, and maybe be nice to everybody, and thinking that they were pleasing God and everything else. And you can't please God unless you're born again of the Spirit from above.
Yeah.
Mm. You can't do it. But the whole thing you were going to say about the healing prayer, that's what the healing prayer is about on this program, is about people that are out there, have worries and concerns, are fearful of the future. And I'm maybe afraid of life or afraid to die.
Well, there's a lot of real concerns out there, John. I was listening today to a program, a chat program on a major station, and there was a lady who had a really terribly difficult problem. She had a son who was a very violent person and had been trying to take his life, and it was really heavy stuff listening to that. But you know, these are the real life problems people are dealing with. Now I know the answer is in Christ. You know that if people have that relationship, they have a resource they can tap into. They can ask Him for His help, even in the darkest and most impossible situations. And there's plenty out there. You know.
Yeah, but, no,
but
that's where
John.
Yeah, but that's where evangelization comes in. You have to ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit to comfort you.
Yeah.
Jesus says, He said earlier, He didn't say I wouldn't be sick or have problems or anybody else, but He said, John, you will cope.
Yeah.
Right? That's what the listeners need to know. So listeners, no matter what your problem might be at the moment, or how awful you might think it might be, but you can't love yourself, But the Word of God says quite clearly, if the Spirit of Christ does not live in you, you live in darkness.
Yeah. Okay. So we can wrap it up, I think, with a prayer, John, can't we?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
this, you wrote this prayer years ago, didn't you?
The healing and conversion prayer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's in your books, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It's in one of the back pages there, and there's a huge response to that book, particularly in the Philippines. Yeah. So anyway, your design is going to say the healing and conversion prayer. And we'll say, so this is just, thanks for tuning in. Sorry for all the we're not in the middle of Grafton, so we're here in the bonds.
We're still waiting for that cup of tea, John.
And please, God, it looks like I'll be here for next week as well, or the next 20 days. That, unless the Lord calls me home in the meantime.
Okay.
God bless. 83744 is my regular phone number, or give me a phone call at the bonds. Talk to you all soon, and thanks for tuning in and listening. God bless. Bye.
Dear Father in Heaven, You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I praise You because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are just wonderful. I know that full well. In my brokenness, I repent for all of my sins, and I ask for forgiveness in Jesus' name. I accept Jesus, your Son, as my Lord and my Saviour. Help me to be able to forgive all who've ever hurt me. Comfort those that I've hurt so that they can forgive me. I confess that I am a sinner and I repent from my heart as I seek your kingdom first and ask for the first of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and receive the same. Give me an extra measure of faith, wisdom and discernment to believe in your word and that I can apply the spiritual gifts just received in my everyday life. Your Holy Spirit within me is greater than any spirit of the flesh or any sinful nature coming against me that's not of you. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to take from me the darkness that I'm in at this moment and set me free of guilt and past memories. I thank you and praise the holy name of Jesus as I seek your kingdom first.